Pride of Jetty into the straight. Gentleman Roy is moving up stylishly and putting pressure on him. Mr. Brightside as well. So she needs to find. She doesn't. Mr. Brightside goes to the front. Pinstripe running the race of his life. Joining in. Pinstripe coming after Mr. Brightside, who leads it by a head. Digging in deep. Pinstripe's coming after him. Pinstripe. EJ, you've done it. You're a Group 1 star. Pinstripe won it by a neck. On Mr. Brightside. And three lengths, Gentleman Roy.
G'day listeners, welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. Tonight we are reviewing Memsey Stakes Day there at Caulfield. It was, of course, the first Group 1 of the new Victorian season. Myself, Ben Coluzzi, and Will the Bot Alfred were out there at Caulfield. And Bot, firstly, how'd you fare on the punt and what'd you make of the race day?
Yeah, good day punting. And I thought it was a very memorable day of racing. Maybe it's because the favourites won and maybe because I had a good day betting, but it was, even though Mr. Brightside didn't win, I thought it was, it made me very excited for the rest of the spring, and I'm looking forward to what might happen out of, it's only the beginning and it's only going to get better from here, but it was a very exciting way to begin the spring because you've got 3 months of Group 1 racing for just about every week in Victoria now, so very, very exciting stuff.
Yeah. Obviously, yeah, some of those three-year-olds, we probably don't quite know what their best distance is, both in Melbourne and Sydney, but we will find out that in due course. What'd you make of, firstly, from a spectator point of view, the new Caulfield? Obviously, the mounting yard was down to the left, and I think it's not ideal. I actually didn't mind, by the same token, being able to go right up to the fence and stand right next to the winning post. I guess you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't have both. I would still prefer to have the mounting yard in front of the members' grandstand, of course, but I guess that was the light at the end of the tunnel. I actually didn't mind being able to get a lot closer to where you'd usually be able to go.
Yeah. Everyone thinks the mounting yard's stupid. Like, I think everyone thinks the mounting yard looks good, but, you know, practically it's not great. And it's a long way away from everything, you know. They had like umbrellas in front of the winning post as well, and it was kind of weird. I don't know. They're sort of in the middle of what they're doing, and you know, it's not the best to judge it. Well, it's still in the process of being the furnished product, I guess. But yeah, it was a bit weird, but it's weird as well. The mounting yard's just so far away from where everything happens.
You know, the other thing about the mounting yard from a design point of view is it's not flat, so there's actually a bit of a slant to it. So a lot of these strappers and handlers actually complain about when the horses are parading pre-race that when the horses go down the slope, the horses pick up a bit too much speed when they're walking, which is not ideal either. So
they're not very easy to animals to control as well.
Yeah. So that's another little issue with the new mounting yard. But yeah, I don't know. It probably wasn't as bad as, because I'm not obviously a mounting yard person. I don't go and straight up to them and watch them before every single race. So I leave that to people who are smarter than me with these things. So I guess it didn't affect me as much, but as an owner, trainer, or a mounting yard person, I can understand why it would be so frustrating.
Oh yeah, it'd be annoying, especially like, you know, you're looking at them because you're looking down on them, so you can't get a real guide as well. Like, it's not like a Flemington where it's they're right next to you where you can see them in full definition. You know, you're sort of 5 to 10 meters away from them at 10 to 15 meters at Caulfield, and you're looking directly down towards them, and it's if you're trying to spot how fit a horse is, it's not exactly ideal.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, let's crack into the races. We're going to start with the good stuff, of course. Race 9 was the Memsey. It was taken out by Pinstripes, with Ben Allen getting his second Group 1 after Murabi saluted in the Oakley Plate a few years ago, and EJ Enver Yusufovic, he's a good man, and he got his first Group 1. So that was fantastic to see. It absolutely stripped me and was the reason why I didn't have a winning day, because I had fantastic positions on Brightside, Jenny, and Antino. But Pinstriped here, Will, the race fit horse. Well, he had a run under the belt. He's run to 102.7 on Form King off an even tempo, and he's probably put up a career best rating by, what would you say, a length and a half maybe?
A length or so, thereabouts. Yep. Yes, and his best ever run was second up two preparations back now. And I guess in the feed.
How did we miss it?
Yeah. So I imagine that's what Enver Yusufovic was trying to do with him. And he got it spot on. And I think he's this is as good as I think he will probably go. I don't think he can take that next step towards a 104 to 106 number that is typically what it takes to win a Group One, like a weight for age Group One in Australia anyway. So I think this today was his day, and you know, the trainer, horse and jockey executed everything perfectly, and you know, well done to them. But so the pace of the race was, well, even for like, so they've gone 5 above, 4.7 above to the 8, which in the context of what Pride of Jenny typically does, she hasn't gone nearly as quick as what she
is. Is that the all average?
No, that's the class. I'll go to the all.
That's a class average.
The all's, I think it's 7.8. Yeah, 7.8 to the 8, and then 2.7 above to the... between the 8 and the 4, and then she just sort of fell to bits after that. But yeah, Pinstripe was really well managed, so was Mr. Brightside. My computer's shitting itself, sorry. I just think everything happened so perfectly for Pinstripe. You know, people might be disappointed by the fact Mr. Brightside's been beaten by a horse like Pinstripe, but he's gone to the best he's ever run, and Mr. Brightside he's essentially in line with what he's done in the past first up. So, you know, if this was called the PB Lawrence and he's run 102 in the PB Lawrence, he knocks off Pinstriped by 1.5 lengths and he's coming second up into the MEMSI here, and he probably runs 103 and wins it. So, I there's no doubt. Mr. Brightside's, I think he's probably back. I think you can probably forget what sort of happened to him towards the end of last preparation, where he was, you know, there were some questions being asked about, have we seen the best of him, and is he on the way downwards? But you know, this first up run suggests that he's as good as he probably has been. And
can I just counter that quickly?
Go.
So Declan Bates here on Pride of Jenny has gone only in even tempo, which...
No, he went pretty quick.
Yeah, a little bit quick, but slower than what she would usually go, even slower than what she went in the CFR, going back to first up last preparation. And I think the wind has played a bit of a factor into that.
Yeah.
And Brightside was able to sit closer from a better barrier compared to that CFR, where he was off the bit and chasing from a wide alley and was ridden cold. I think... put them in another race down the track at 1600 meters or in a Cox Plate at 2000 and say all of a sudden Pride of Jenny goes lickety split and goes, you know, whether she's at her best or not, if she goes the tempo that we know she can, I still think that potentially catches Brightside out.
Yeah, maybe. I don't really disagree with that. And it's hard to pinpoint that to be the one reason for Mr. Brightside underperforming towards the end, in those races last prep. But, you know, I have an inkling that might have been the reason. And if she does go those sorts of paces, we'll see what happens. But, you know, I'd be surprised if they don't go to the Maccabi Diva next start based on this. Like, if he flopped, I think they were thinking of going to the Underwood. But, I think he's completely where he needs to be. And, another good run in the race was Antino. He was, you know, I think he missed the start. There was no intent. He was way too far back. He did a lot through the sort of to the 1,000 to the 2, and he sort of just dropped off the last 200 meters. But he ran really well for the scenario where he was put in. Jamie Carr's not running very well at the moment. But, yeah. I'm sort of worried about Prada Jenny. I think she's sort of gone back to where she... Like, this is a number that would be typical of what she'd do before she won all those group ones, like before the Empire Rose, where she beat a tissue and then she went to the champion mile and ran really, really fast time and won. So maybe she's just been that good for a year and you know, I don't know if I necessarily believe in these sorts of things, but like she's a mare and like, what does that even mean? But, you know, if it is true, like that could be a thing. Like,
I think for mine, I am willing to see her one more time, whether I want to invest on her or not. But she is out to $10.
Depends on price. Yeah.
She's out to $10 in the Maccabi all in. I think she had a few factors stacked against her on Saturday in terms of the wind. Maybe she just had an off day, come back with a slightly elevated temperature on the Sunday. I just think all of a sudden, if you go to Flemington next start, 1600 meters, she's got a run under the belt, and instead of a northwesterly, it's a southwesterly, which usually assists leaders at Flemington. And Declan Bates clicks up the tempo from the half mile, then who knows? I think I sort of want to just wait and see, but it is very, very intriguing. Pinstriped, this was an excellent ride by Ben Allen, just did everything right and probably learned his lesson from last start when, because he knows this horse is going to lay in. So got the whip straight in the left hand at the top of the straight, made sure there was a bit of room between he and Mr. Brightside in case he was always going to lay in, whereas last start he was coming in on Jimmy the Bear. Jimmy the Bear was coming out on him and it really shunted his momentum. So I thought it was an excellent ride, excellent win. Best horse on the day one. Sickening result for me, but well done to them. Anything else?
Yeah. It was good to see Ben Allen in the pinstripe silks at the Osborne after the races as well. Yeah. And the Instagram posts as well. That was funny.
Oh, how good is it? Mr. Yeah, Brightside as the song on his Instagram.
Yeah, and the photo post of him and Craig.
Yeah.
The Farjack photo. That was very funny.
The dynamic in that jockey's room would be pretty funny because...
Oh, I'd love to be like a fly in the room, just like Ben Allen and Craig Williams having a conversation with each other. Like, what the fuck would they talk about?
Yeah, it's so funny because you got like the older guys in one section of the jockey's room and then you got like your Bo Mertens, your Ben Allens, your Geordie Childs in the other side. And yeah, it's a very funny and entertaining jockey room, no doubt. All right,
yeah.
Let's go back to race five. Will is saying Prada Jenny could be done. I want to see her one more time. Race five was the Vale Black Caviar, known as the Heath, registered name, 1,100 meter group three. And it was Recommendation who was able to take this out. Look, this 1,100 meters at Caulfield is obviously his sweet spot. He's run to 100.2. He's had all the favors here. And Kalos has peeled off his back and hasn't quite been able to get it done. But, Will, another slow tempo and a masterclass ride by Black Shin.
Yeah, they just went... Yeah, for this sort of class of race, it's they haven't gone too quickly. And I just think this is about their level. Like, I think Recommendation's a great horse for, you know, if you're a handicapper, you're handicapping these races. He runs the same rating just about every start. He's... extremely consistent. He's obviously improved his preparation, but I, you know, we've seen him in races that where he's been given the opportunity to go better, and he hasn't. You know, so I think this is just him. If they step him up in grey, like if he's contesting group, I guess it depends on the group too. But like if he won't win a group one. But, you know, he's a nice horse and he'll keep winning these sorts of races. And this is their level. Kalos went well for what he is. And he's got a little bit of room to improve. But, like, he's in the same boat as Recommendation. Like, if you take him up in class, they're not going to be competitive in those sorts of races and stuff. And I'd forget about the rest of them because they're not very good and they're not going very well.
Yeah. From a punting point of view, I should have had a better day than what I did. I came on the podcast... And I obviously had a position on Kalos at $8. But the two scratchings on Saturday morning, of Chain of Lightning and Arkansas Kid meant recommendation was into the red. And I'm just like, am I really going to touch that? No, I'm not. I'll just settle with my $8 and Kalos. So if recommendation had a start at $2.60, then I make them both a result. The two scratchings mean no, I didn't end up betting. So anyway, no one wants to hear me whine. But recommendation, is this it for him now? Or do you think, like, because he probably can't do much in a race like a Manicato at 1200 at the Valley, do you reckon they go there, or do you reckon they just stick to these sort of handicap level sprints?
I don't know. Maybe the Scalacci's is in a couple of weeks, so like that's another one of those sorts of races. And then, so maybe they have a freshen up and then go to the Scalacci. I think it's in 6 weeks, and then they can go to maybe a race at Flemington down the straight, or I don't know. But you know, I wouldn't be taking him up in class. He's not quite good enough to win that grade.
Any knock on the ride on the runner up?
No, why? What was wrong with
that? I just saw there was a bit of commentary saying the tempo, she should have just sort of flushed him out earlier and got going.
Nah, it's, you know, no. I don't think he was ever going to beat the winner. I think the result's fair.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, let's move on to race 6, which was the McNeil. And for many people, maybe the win of the day. 1200 meter group 3, Growing Empire. Actually had a bit of a drift late, as ended up starting $2.50 fixed on the TAB. Might have even started longer BSP. Wonderboy was a good run in second, Stay Focused in third. I think there's a few worrying signs around him and Band of Brothers in fourth. But this was an even tempo. Growing Empire with the blinkers off has absolutely walloped them, has run another career peak of 99.9 or similar to what he did in Adelaide, maybe a little bit better. And he's only going to get better from here.
Yeah, no, he's run a big career peak on Saturday. He was he 96.9 in Adelaide, and he's gone 99.5 here. So big new peak. He's come back a lot better. He's run really, really fast time. They went sort of an even pace for the race, and they picked it up between the 8 and the 4. And then it was only he and Wonderboy who were able to sustain that through to the line. They were, you know, like, they just, the two were dominant over the others, and Growing Empire is obviously the better of the two. And you know, I think he's an Everest horse. I don't know. I heard that they might not go that path. I hope they do.
I don't think they will. Because I think they'll go to the Poseidon in a few weeks.
Which is stupid, because there's, like, what have we got? Jolly Star's the only one that's sort of up and coming that's sort of at that level. We've got I Wish I Win, who's like, Moody can get like two runs into him in a preparation. That's it. Ballinvitina is like a 103 mare. I just don't see why you wouldn't take the opportunity and take advantage of a weak sort of era for our sprinters. Like, this, he's just the perfect horse for it. Like, it, like, I wouldn't, off this race, you know, like, everyone saw it, he clocked off at the 100 meter mark. He could have won by 4 or 5 if he really wanted to.
What rating do you think he runs if he's ridden out to
the line? It's impossible to say. Maybe like 101. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, maybe slightly less than that. But I just write him out. Like, it can't be good for them. Stopping it, like, Wonder Boy's almost run up his ass. Like,
yeah, he's literally, it's like almost to the, you know, to the territory where it's dangerous.
Yeah, I think he's very good. I was weird. I was completely expecting him to be just off the map. Like, I had him $1.60. I thought, like, not to toot my own horn, but I thought it was just, the market was just going to be all over him, and it just wasn't. He started 275 Betfair. He was soft, and you know, they got that wrong. They were really, the one they wanted was Wonderboy, and they smashed him. And I thought that was interesting because he hadn't really ever done anything prior to the McNeil, and that, like, that Vane Stakes was awful. He was running on well in that, but he wasn't running on like he was a certainty beat in a bad race. He was just sort of average in a bad race, and but the market knew here. They smashed him. He started $5.90 Betfair, and he went really, really well. So the market completely knew it before it even happened. And he's a really nice horse. I think he probably wants further now.
I think that's what the market was banking on. I think the like 1,100 meters last start, he was sort of off the bit and chasing in a bit of an awkward position. And maybe the data didn't look as flashy as what the eyes guys might have thought. But I just think back out to 1,200 meters, that's what they were really banking on. And out to 1,400 meters again, you'll think he'll only improve.
I kind of think it was yard driven. I heard he improved at like a load, and he's a really nice looking horse. So I kind of think it might have been a yard driven move,
and probably they wanted to get rid of Stay Focus as well, because there were lots of alarm bells going into it.
His side of $5 Betfair. I think Wonder Boy, they should go to a race like the Gothic next, which is now over 1,400 meters, I think. Anyway. And then maybe a race like the Carbine. They'll probably go to the Caulfield Guineas. He won't win at Caulfield Guineas, but if he, you know, Carbine Club's the sort of race for him down the track. In last year's year, he'd be sort of right at the top of the table in those sorts of Caulfield Guineas. Like, but this isn't a normal year, and Growing Empire is very, very, very good.
Yeah. When do you think they put the blinkers back on Growing Empire? Do you think they wait until the Coolmore?
Yeah, Coolmore. They'll go on in the Coolmore. Or they might not even put them on because he's gone so well. But, you know, I don't know. That's up to Kieran Maher to decide. But if he keeps running so well without them on, I don't know why you'd risk putting them on the most important day. But, you know, I think he probably goes to the one of those Flemington races, the Dane Hill or something. And
I think it's Poseidon first.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. So if he sort of gets down the straight fine, like a 102, 103 next, and then, you know, that's in the vicinity of what it'll take to win an Everest if he keeps improving again off that. So they should go to the Everest, but apparently they might not, which is stupid.
Well, there you go. An Everest-like performance in the McNeil, but...
No, it wasn't an Everest-like performance, but like I could see him getting there.
Scope for it anyway.
Yeah.
Let's move on to race 7 then. The Cochrane, we probably won't spend too much time on this, but...
What is this?
It was taken out by the class runner in the race off a pedestrian tempo. They've gone really slow here, and Quintessa has carried the 60 kilos. She's run to a rating of 97.6, which obviously with the weight means she's gone a lot better than the rest of the field at the adjusted ratings. Extra 2 was cast off the track the whole way. I know it is only one turn, but she did cover a fair amount of ground, even though they went slow. And La Danseuse Rouge has come home in good sectionals yet again. But Quintessa, she's probably not really a 1,200-meter horse, but she was just too good here.
Yeah, they went really slow. I don't really know what I think about this race. It's not a race I don't think it's gone well. I don't think it's gone that badly. I think it's just a typical sort of group mares race. They'll all race each other again. So, you know, they'll come up against each other. Wallumby was sickening.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. This Quintessa is a Group 1 winner, isn't it?
Maybe in New Zealand.
Yeah. Anyway, they've done pretty well because it was a mile and a half.
Yeah, it's won the Levine Classic.
It was out over a mile and a half last preparation, and now it's winning first up of a 1,200 meters. So obviously you got to be a nice horse to do that. So it's winner only, I think, this race.
One thing I'll say about Tiakio is a lot of the time they're not greedy with the placement of their horses. So you can guarantee this mare will be placed in races that she can absolutely win. We've seen that in the past with obviously horses like Imperatrix. What's the other sprinter?
She could win anything.
Sons Dude. And there was another. There was another mare. Maybe it was Quintessa. Yeah, that last year that she. I think they could have gone to.
Oh, she went to the mile. That's right.
Bigger races, but yeah. I just think they're a camp who replaces their horses really well, and often they don't go that hard a race, and I think that's a good thing as punters. All right, let's move on to the next race. And this was taken out by Rise at Dawn. One of the only leaders to win on the day, but again, another really, really slow tempo. He's obviously very fit. What is he, 6 or 7 up this preparation? He's won 3 or 4 races. Out to 1,700 meters for the very, oh no, it wasn't for the first time, but it's the first time he's won out to this trip. And he was too good. Mick D lifted him. Some really good runs in behind, but how much do you trust this form? The likes of Q Tempesta finishing in 5th and St. George, well, that was an awful watch if you were on him. He finished 8th and should have gone a lot closer, but it's a bit of a head-scratcher of a race. What'd you make of it?
Yeah, well, one thing we haven't talked about really with the track yet is that the shoot played a little slower than what the circle did, just based with the wind, the 30-kilometer headwind in that. So the wind in the 2,000 and up meter races played a little bit quicker. Sorry, my computer's. Anyway, point is this race, because I in the thing I wrote yesterday, my little whatever I wrote, I said this race went really well, and it was because that the wind hadn't Dave hadn't, I think his
power stitch was out or something. Funty.
Yeah. No, it wasn't a stitch up. But for whatever reason, it didn't save, and the wind factors didn't completely go through. Anyway, so this race hasn't gotten quite as well as what I initially thought. And they went really slowly, and you saw them in a bunch finish. I still think there's some, you can sort of pick and choose with this race. Like the overall race hasn't gone overly well. Rise of Dawn's run to his number. He's run the same rating 3 times now. Positivity has come back really well. Like all of these horses can be placed in the right races and win their respective races. But you know, if they're targeted to Caulfield Cups and stuff, they're not going to be competitive in those sorts of races. So a horse like Positivity, Future History, Q Tempesta, and like St. George, they're all sort of Group 2, 2,000 meter, like, you know, like the Coonjee, the Ballarat Cup, the Bendigo Cup, Geelong Cup even. Those sorts of races I'd expect to find these horses in. And this has been a good kickoff for them. I don't think this race is awful. As I heard some people are really just completely against it. But I think the bunch finish is coming down to how slowly they went. Jimmy the Bear probably should have won this. It was really weird tactics.
Oh, don't say that. No, he sort of did miss the start a little bit as well. Did he was slowly away, and then he was always back in the field. He's only been beaten a length, and I had a pretty good bet actually on him at $5, so that's fantastic.
Yeah, the horse that actually probably should have won it was the horse that was 50s into $12, St. George, and another Jamie Cash. Like, I don't know what's. There was one on Friday night too, and there was it the horse that I backed that day at Bendigo that race was.
And also the elephant in the room is obviously the ride in the McNeil
music one. What's it called?
Above Let's Face the Music, when she didn't really take the gap. Do you, look, I heard she's been a little bit sick, and I've also, her bit of her excuse was obviously the wind. I think there's a few factors that play into it. But I think the biggest factor is the fact that she's coming off a life-changing fall only last spring.
Which is like, tricky. Yeah, I see both sides of it. But, you know, if you're a punter, you're putting your money on these horses, you want to take the gaps. But at the same time, she's probably 50 kilos, probably less than 50 kilos. I don't know how much she weighs, but there's not much of her, and she's trying to steer a 500-kilogram animal into 30-kilometer winds. I don't imagine it'd be easy, but and that's not making any excuses, because the Let's Face the Music ride was particularly bad, because there wasn't a gap there. And it wasn't.
If Let's Face the Music was the same price as Growing Empire,
it wouldn't
be good at all for her. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. The stewards are still looking into that as an inquiry about whether she might be suspended.
The only other thing with that is, Yeah. The only other thing with that is that, like, it's happened, like, it was on another one that happened on Friday. There was a couple others during the, like, St. George, and there was one other one during the day at Caulfield. I don't know. Well, I'm not implying anything, but, like, it's just a little bit. Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Moving on. I think it's best left there. We'll leave it to to smarter people to deal with. All right, race 10. Did we see the Toorak winner here? Hopefully he goes there. Benchmark 100 over 1400. It was another Will, another bot, we like to call him, and he has been very good here. The steward's notification came through that he was going to be going back from the barrier, which he very well did. And in the end, he's actually got that sweeping run with a bit of cover, protected from the wind. He's been able to come down the outside. Post a rating of 98.4. Obviously, with a better barrier draw, up to 1,600 metres, he can obviously go better again next time around. Hit a Shock has run well in second, Bankmore third, and Jenny Lala just weakened out in fourth. But another Will carried the 60.5, and he's been too good. What'd you make of the win?
They literally made this impossible for him, and he still won. Like, he's gone stupidly slow to the 400. So he was throwing around his head. He was three wide with no cover at the back of the field, throwing his head around, and he turns the corner and he runs eight above to get over the top of him. Like, you sectional markup, like, what's he run? 100, 105, 100.5, 101. I don't know. He's nailed on to run like 102 at least at weight for age in the Toorak, and he's running at 54 to 55 kilos. It's all over. I don't know how they beat him in the Toorak. He's good. Yeah.
I pray.
They might not go. Yeah. Well, he's a 5-year old Gelding. That's the thing.
No, you're not too good for a Toorak. You're not. Yeah. Even Winx ran in Epsom's handicaps and the like. I just hate this ideology of, oh, he might be too good for a Toorak. That was a horse's name, too good for Toorak. Let's just skip it, go to a Caulfield Cup, or let's just go to the wait for age path. No. Win the handicap group one while you can have and carry 54 kilos. And also deliver me a winner at $8.
It's $1 million. Yeah, it's $1 million race. Why not just pick it up? Like, he will win it doing handstands. Like, there's another horse we'll talk about that went really fucking well earlier in the card as well, called Craig. But, you know, what's even going with Toorak? He's just a prototype Toorak horse, and if he turns up on the day and he's set to run what I think he's capable of, and he's got the weight I think he'll get, they won't touch him.
Well, I think Pinstriped is the second horse in the market, but Pinstriped will probably get 58 and he'll probably get 54. So
yeah. And
that makes it a bit harder.
Yeah. Just like the last heat, they just shouldn't win from where they weren't stopping. And, you know, visually it sort of looked like they might have gone quite quickly in this race and they were just slowing down, and he got over the top of them with a really strong run. But, you know,
he's run the fastest last 400. And 200 of the meeting.
They were finishing quickly respective to themselves, and he was finishing quickly respective to him. He can finish a lot faster than what these horses can, because he's a lot better than them. He's a Group 1 horse, and he is a weight for age horse, but, you know, they've got the opportunity to win the handicap races, so why not just go and take it?
Yeah, exactly. Two questions for you. What'd you make of the price he ended up starting, firstly? And the other thing, what did you make of the secret trial that this horse had Ballarat that no one has seen until after the races, or, you know, until after all the form's been done? Yeah.
The trial thing's weird. I don't know. What does anyone gain from it? You know, it's a multi-billion-dollar industry. How hard is it to provide that to the public, I guess, and people. I saw some people arguing, like, you know, like, for example, Lindsay Park and Godolphin would have their own sort of facilities, but that's privately funded, so it's different.
This is different. They're wearing their race day silks in a trial against other horses from different stables. It's being filmed, yet it doesn't appear on their on their page that they've had a trial or a public jump out.
It's not. I don't think it's RV or anyone's fault. I think it's them just doing it.
It's Ballarat just doing it.
Or is it Ballarat or is it the trainers just doing it? Is that, I don't know.
No, the turf club, the race course manager.
Oh, right. Okay.
Has to let them on. Not,
okay. Yeah. So it's not Kieran Maher and the others just being dodgy or whatever. It's the laziness of the. Yeah. Okay.
You can't just walk onto a racetrack and trial a horse against other stables without permission from the race course manager.
Okay. Yeah. We're in the digital age, we've got, phones that are stupidly powerful and we can't get a video of a horse. Like, half the time we can't even see the horses because it's foggy. And now they're not even recording them. And like, it's not like these are picnic horses either. Like, this horse started $3.50 in a fucking Doncaster handicap or an Epsom or whatever it was. So it's an interesting, it's funny. It's very poorly run sometimes racing, and these things you shouldn't even have to think about these things. Like, I don't even care, to be honest. I wouldn't have watched the trial anyway.
Yeah, but you're not a trial person. Some people are.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I couldn't give a shit. But like, at the same time, like, how hard is it just to fucking film it? And it's only for the betterment of the industry.
Yeah.
And what was the other question?
What'd you make of the price? He's ended up starting $3.30 fixed, $3.40 BSP.
That was weird.
Just not
weird.
Related?
Yeah, of course. It was just, you could see it happening. She was going to get back and wide from 16. The track was racing pretty hard. And all throughout the entire day, that was they weren't going quickly because they were worried about the wind, I think, the jockeys. So there weren't many strongly run races. And he's gone as well. He's run the race of his life here to win this, and he's not first up. So they don't sprint like this. He's gone stupidly well. Like, 360 is, if I backed him, and I sort of half thought about it, but I didn't in the end. If I had have backed him at the 800 meters, I would have gone for a walk in run. Like, I wouldn't be able to watch it. I would just having a proper tantrum. Yeah. But the horse has got out of trouble and the stable and stupid tactics. But good horse.
All right. The only other one we'll touch on is Craig, which was your best bet of the day. So well done.
No, it wasn't.
Well
done. It was growing second best. It was
your podcast leg multi
that you didn't want me to be a part of it.
Mate, you were going to choose Vion Declare, and then Tommy and I overruled you. In fairness, Vion Declare had probably one of the worst runs you'll ever see. I ended up being the one who made the podcast multi-lose with Pride of Jenny, but there was a few questions about taking a Trixie. So hopefully a few of you had the 3 out of 4 legs and maybe still had some type of collect.
What did Nico choose?
He chose Autumn Glow. And Tommy chose Growing Empire.
Growing Empire,
3 out of 4, that's not bad. Craig has run to a figure of 99.5 here, which is very, very good for a benchmark 78. Sweeping run off of fast tempo, 1,400 metres, and he's come back with a bang here. I think he probably just got that nice run where he was sort of tucked in behind the speed against that headwind, and at the top of the straight, it was just a matter of how far, or even at the 400, really.
Yeah, the pace was good enough, and he's finished all over the top of it. It was just they ran quick enough early, quick enough for it not to be, it was a good pace, and he's finished just all over the top of them. He very, very good horse, and there were hints when he first up, he was last prep when he. Or was it? No, it was second up when he was completely slaughtered against Rise at Dawn. And when he finished massively, and then he was suddenly.
Gee, that looks like a decent form race now.
Yeah, it does, yeah. So he was off, what was it, 56 days here, and he's just exploded. I think he's this what he's done here, if he can get into the Turek, which will be the problem because this is a 78. If he can get himself into the Turek, then he will probably run second to another Will. This is really good.
Well, he might also run second in the Golden Eagle because I've backed him at 100-1.
Oh, yeah. That's he's a three-year-old still, isn't he? He's a three-year-old still because he's Irish. He's by territories.
Yeah. Yep. Northern Hemisphere.
Mm. Yeah. But he's gone really, really well.
Yeah. Well, certainly one to follow. Hopefully he can make his way into some of those handicaps. And who knows? Golden Eagle's obviously a little bit ambitious, but you never know. He's probably only a length to a length and a half off those Celestial Legends and co. So if he can make the right improvement, who knows?
Mm.
All right, is that all for Caulfield?
I think so, yeah.
Obviously, Bot, you've been doing your written review, I should say, which a lot of people have been enjoying. So if you want to check that out, he's probably a better writer than he is a speaker. So
I am not a good speaker, so you can. It's not hard.
Go on to Twitter, Will Alford, and you can check out all his stuff there. It's really good stuff. All right, Rose Hill, track hard and fast. What did you make of it?
Yeah, it was a three. The shoot was a little bit faster than the circle, but they were saying it was a little bit on pace there at Rose Hill. So maybe you've got to factor that in as well. But I wasn't watching it too intently. I only really paid attention to the two main races. But they weren't beating Storm Boy, whichever way you...
Let me introduce the race first.
Okay.
San Domenico Stakes, Group 3, 1,100 metres. Storm Boy ended up replacing Gatsby's as the favourite. He has gone at a good tempo, even tempo. Hippo back in the saddle. I reckon he's ridden him an absolute beauty here, to be honest. He's ran to 100.8, which almost matches his figure on the Gold Coast, which a lot of people wanted to say was for Gazy. I've got to admit, I was a bit of a doubter. And his trials coming into this were, I think in hindsight, when we look at trials and they're hard ridden, we automatically go, well, that doesn't look very good. But if you, in hindsight, with the benefit of hindsight, if you look back to his last trial, yes, he was ridden out, but Cabalas was also in second, ridden out and couldn't get past him, who is currently $15 in a Moya. So I don't know. There are lots of different ways to skin a cat in this great game of racing. And Storm Boy has come back with an absolute bang here. He's won by three lengths.
Yeah, he's also a very, very fast racehorse. And, you know, burn ups the last 400 meter in a trial doesn't really mean anything. He's run essentially just off what he did in Gold Coast for the Magic Millions. I was 1,100 meters first up. I was surprised by because, you know, I thought they'd just go 12, 14, 16, and then maybe 2,000 or maybe even drop back to 12 if he was all out at the end of 16. But, he sort of missed the start, you know, as he does, because I don't think he's not a fast horse. That sounds funny. He's not a speedy, squibby sort of horse.
He builds into his work.
Which makes me think that he's doing all of what he's doing because of smart tactics. Like if he's not pushed out to lead this race, he's three back the fence and he's running on in really, really sharp splits. If he's trained by Waller or the Hawks team, you know, he's running on in the fastest splits of the meeting and everyone's talking about how he wants further, but because he's been pushed out to go to the front and he's run them into the ground essentially, people say he's just a sprinter. I just think what he's doing now is a bonus. I think he's as exciting a horse as probably since Animo, really, because he's been able to do what he's done at two and he's been competitive in these sprint races, but he's bred to be better over further. And, you know, we've got everything that sort of suggests that he will be better over further. And he's just a tank. Like I love the way he does it. He goes straight to the front and he just kills them. Like Gatsby's, I think was, you know, his first up run was really pretty. It was a slowly run race and he sort of sprinted. I just think maybe people making it the excuse, maybe he didn't appreciate the ground. I don't know. I just think he's sort of a weak, not weak, but like he's just
whack.
You know, like, no, that's harsh. He's just, I you know, you put the pressure on, like they didn't go massively quick either in this race, but it was just a sustained good gallop and he just ran them into the ground. And Tropicus went really well as well. He's bred to be further. He's by two down hot out of a mare that was, you know, the family, like he's from, like, so I think in Mum's by Cinder, well, one, I think he's Mum's by Cinder, who was an ARC winner. So he's bred to be at least a mile or maybe a bit further. He's gone really well fresh. He sprinted well in the fastest closing splits of the meeting. And he could be, you know, it's tricky because, you know, you see these flashing light horses, you know, he's going to be better over further. Caulfield Guineas will know because Stormboy's a lot better than him and he's going to do the exact same thing in the Guineas. So maybe a race like the Carbine Club, but, you know, he could be a nice 20s, 30s chance in a Caulfield Guineas.
Yeah. Tropicus, fastest last 200 of the entire meeting, which is good going. Came home well. Gatsby's, I know you're probably going to poo-poo this, but he has now gone flat second up twice in a row. Big debut win, regressed second up, second start of his career.
It's a very easy conclusion to come to.
I'm not saying it's a conclusion. I want to see him again, but has done it twice now where he has regressed off his fresh run. So something I want to keep an eye on. The market sort of knew in terms of he's the one who drifted, Stormboy replaced him as favourite. Was always going to get the right run with the way the track was playing, but I don't know if we quite forecasted him to get back to his Gold Coast number, and he's just about done it.
I did.
Yeah, well done. Well done. You are not richer for it. So does anyone care? I don't know.
Gatsby started favourite in the end, actually. He was 247 on Betfair.
Oh, on Betfair.
247 Betfair. Stormboy was 262. So that there was a decent push for him at the end, Gatsby. So I don't think he's gone by any means. He regressed on his first start run. And yeah, I think there's still a nice race in him, but I just don't think he's the he's going to be the top of the 3-year-old tree. He's just sort of that level below.
For mine, obviously Stormboy will go to the Golden Rose, and you know that's a great race for him.
Oh, it's a perfect race for him.
I'm still not 100% convinced he's a miler 2,000 meter horse. I still just want to see it first. I'm really happy if he doesn't go to a Coolmore, which it doesn't look like he will, because I'm obviously invested on Growing Empire at the nice price. But yeah, obviously a super talent, and the Golden Rose, it's always one of the races of the spring, and he's going to be clashing with the likes of Broadsiding, maybe a Traffic Warden goes there, a few other three-year-olds, maybe some of the fillies. It's going to be an absolutely cracking race. And I love the Golden Rose because you always get a mix of the Everest horses, you get a mix of the Coolmore horses, and you get a mix of the Caulfield Guineas three-year-olds as well. So going to be a cracker.
Very nice. Right.
Race 7 was won by Autumn Glow. She's done it again here. Very, very good performance. In terms of a rating, I think it was maybe just off what she did on debut.
No, the exact same.
Oh, really?
95.9.
Oh, beautiful. Very good, very good win. 95.9. Wanarua was solid in second and Snack Bar in third. But what did you make of the Autumn Glow? I thought it was a really good ride by Kieran McAvoy off an even tempo. He's obviously going really well.
Yeah, I think the win was good, and it was, yeah, I think myself included and everyone was sort of, I just wanted her to improve, and maybe she didn't get the race structure to do it.
She will up and trip though.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Like she's 1300 meters is just not her go. She's like, even from her debut, she's been looking for a mile and further. Like she's bred to be over, to be too good over a mile to even a mile and a half. So I really want to see her over further. She'll go to the T-Rose next, which is 14. I wouldn't be surprised if she's beaten in that. There's no, I tried to find a market for that, but I couldn't find one last night. But I'd expect she's probably a 250 sort of all in chance. I guess that's what the that's sort of if there is one, she'd probably be that sort of price. And look, like at 14, like even though a horse like Manal hasn't quite improved, she's still better than her to this point. She's not going to be better than her. Autumn Glow will be better in time. I can see her being beaten next time. She will not be beaten the flight stakes unless something explodes. And then I really, really hope they take her to the Vinery, and they're not too conservative with her, because there's no point racing her in these 14, 13 race, sort of 100 meter races, because she's not built for it. She can't sprint. Like, she's not a turn of foot horse that you see it. She looked gone at not gone, but she looked like she was sort of vulnerable in the, sort of at the 200, 400
meters. She looks like dad, dare I say it.
Yeah, she looks exactly like her dad, and he was better at 10 furlongs. So,
2,000, yeah, miles yeah. 10.
So he, yeah, she's not quick enough to win those sorts of races. And if they go to the Golden Rose with her, I don't think she's any chance. Maybe she could, like, just because I think she's very, very talented.
They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it to her.
I hope they don't. But yeah, I'd love her to go to the Vinery just to at least just give her the experience of 2000. Like, she's not going to have to beat much. So, like, she could run her debut rating in the Vinery and probably win a typical Vinery.
But yeah.
Yeah, she's very good.
All right. Is that it? Anything else you want to say?
Yeah, Chael Wolf went really, really well.
Oh, yeah, we should touch on this race. I'll quickly introduce it. Mm. Yeah, race number 8, Chael Wolf, obviously carried the 60 kilos. He has gone to 101.3, which is a monster rating, has been able to build up his revs at the crucial time, beats Riazan and a more victorious, well-beaten in third. I thought it was a little bit disappointing. Maybe he wants a softer track and to go a little bit faster, but I thought he was still disappointing. All on is the winner. And this really franks the form of obviously the Derby when he ran second to Riff Rocket.
Yeah. He did. Yeah. The late time is massive. He was really good first up. He ran really nice splits, and then he's sort of done it again. He's posted a massive rating. He's put himself into Epsom. Epsom's the one in the spring, isn't it? I always get it mixed up.
Epsom in the spring and the Doncaster in the autumn.
Yeah. He's put himself in the picture for an Epsom, and even, like, you know, it sounds crazy, but like he'll make up the numbers in a Cox Plate on this. He obviously runs 2,000 meters, and he wouldn't be surprised.
I think 2,000 is probably his best.
Yeah, I'd say so. He wouldn't look out of place in a Cox Plate. Like, he's not going to win one. He's not going to run 105 and win a Cox Plate, but he can run 6th to 8th, I guess.
Hmm.
Nice horse. Yeah. He's running really well here.
Yeah, nice horse and a nice J-Mac ride to go with it. All right, what are you following out of the meeting? I'll give a few. Q Tempesta, I think I would love to see this horse go to a Metrop, just slightly back. I also think Chael Wolf might go to a Metrop, so all of a sudden that is looking like a decent option for those probably B grade 2400 meter horses. Craig in the Golden Eagle, you can still get $51 and $14 the place around, I think, maybe Ladbrokes, maybe $13.50 the place. I would have something small each way on that. And St. George, I think I've had an each way spec on him in the Melbourne Cup as well.
I don't know. It's a tricky one. I think I don't want to tell you Growing Empire, follow Growing Empire. I think he's obviously very good, but I think maybe one that might go under, but Antino, I really want them to go to the Underwood because I think it's the perfect race for him. So I think the logical next step is the Mikhaibi Diva, and if they back him up in the Underwood, I think that's the race for him. I think that's, if he's going to win a Group One, I think it's Mikhaibi Diva into the Queen on the quick backup into the Underwood.
Yeah,
I think that's
the Underwood is race for him. The Underwood is right there for the taking, because right now the two favourites for the race are Faulkner Park and Place to Carousel, who aren't there to win, who are targeting a Caulfield Cup, and will be first up with probably still a lot of fitness improvement to come. So if you are an owner or a trainer and you've got a good horse right now, then the Underwood is a Group 1 that is just absolutely there for the taking.
Mm. Yeah. I think it's been – people know about it now. It's not hard to the markets are going to miss it, but Craig went stupidly well in the third race, and he'll continue to beat the handicapper at this point anyway. Like wherever he goes next time, he'll go up short. I don't know. It's hard.
He might take on another Will.
Can next start, Will,
maybe. Or in the Toorak.
No, not in the Toorak. I don't think he can beat another Will. But you know, if he rocks up in a 90 somewhere next time, he probably just wins it. But you know, you're probably going to cop like 240, and it'll be a fair price. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. A few questions before we wrap up the podcast. Pat Kelly says, the Kettle Hill form wins the Heatherly.
Yeah.
This was Pat is the one who had the Kettle Hill doof stick at BTV.
Yeah.
We love him for that. St. George seems a very exciting cup prospect. So thanks for tuning in. Max Kogler says, how many lengths does Growing Empire win the Cornwall by? I'm going to say two. I'll take a nose at this stage.
He's going to be favourite, I guess, because I hope Stormboy's not going to the Coolmore.
Yeah,
I hope they don't go that way.
Yeah. Stormboy to take Everest Path, says Anthony Royd, question mark. At $12 with the lightweight, he looks value in futures.
Stormboy, that is?
Yeah, I don't think
he's going. Well, he might not go there. I doubt it.
Yeah, with the Everest, you obviously get your money back. No matter what, so that is something. Oh. But I don't think $12 is anything value.
No.
Not unless you hear he's actually going anyway. Coops Irwin, what rating do you think Bot would set up over 1,400 metres at Caulfield?
Me? I
don't know.
Or yeah. The horse?
I don't know. I think he means you.
Oh, mate. I was an elite 800 metre runner back in the day, so.
How'd your fine dining go? What did you make of the grazing menu in Caulfield, mate? Sitting up there with the high rollers. Gav Bedgood, Tyson Hunter, Will Alford.
Gav Bedgood, the high roller.
Mate, he's going to be a Group 1 winning trainer after this week. Don't you laugh?
Yeah, you're right. Namoya. He's well in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
With Mornings and Glory.
Answer the question. Was it a good service?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, good.
It looks good.
Yeah.
What is the current power rankings on horses wearing the Yulong silks? This is an interesting one. V-16 is obviously at the top. Growing Empire,
Place to Carousel, Kamochi.
Place to Carousel third, Kamochi fourth. That's a very quick on the spot, but I think it's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be far off. Coops Irwin, last one. Do you think Yulong will one day use the same model as Godolphin with a head trainer?
I actually listened to the radio with Gareth Hall, which I don't normally do for obvious reasons, and he was talking to Vin Cock, because I was trying to find out who was why the blinkers weren't on, and he said that Gareth actually asked him that question, and they said not at this stage. So it'd be cool, I guess. But I guess having the option of whoever you want to train your horses is also pretty cool. So it's a good problem for them to have.
I think they're probably spread across too many different stables right now to just all of a sudden choose one. But
well, if it's going to happen, it's not going to happen for a long time.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. They also own horses that don't necessarily run in the green and white. Like, they would have shares in other horses as well.
They've got shares in Emirati as well, I think.
Yeah. Tyson Hunter, was that an outlier for Pinstripes, or do you think he goes on with it?
I don't think it's an outlier, but I think it's as good as he can go. I think he will. I wouldn't be surprised to see him run that rating again. But when Mr. Brightside improves, when Mr. Brightside improves when he's racing VS Estania, if they choose to go that way, that number's not going to be quite enough. So he had the fitness, and Mr. Brightside he ran his first up rating. It was just Pinstripe had a really, really good day, and he went as well as he possibly could.
Yeah, I think it was just right place, right time for Pinstripe on the weekend.
Yeah,
just everything sort of fell into place, and it's sickening for everyone who backed him first up when he should have won the race, like me. But anyway, good on him and good on EJ for winning his first Group 1. Stu has got three questions. How far St. George? Do you reckon he would have won if he got out, or do you reckon he just looked unlucky?
It's impossible to say. He just sort of looked unlucky because the jockey wasn't throwing her arms about. But
yeah,
maybe he wins, but
maybe he doesn't know because he's I don't know if he's a real turn of foot horse, so he would have still had to.
Was he the one that I backed last year in the cup? Was he that one?
Yeah, well, he was a three-year-old when they first announced he was coming over, I'm pretty sure. He had the form around, he's got form around like Tower of London, a few others.
Gregory.
Probably was the one. Yeah, Gregory is the other one.
It might be.
I don't know. Hopefully you can make the field this year and go close. Stu, Ben Allen has the best Instagram handle ever. That was sensational. Yeah. No, good on Benny. He certainly knows how to celebrate. We'll give him that. He needs to start winning more. He's actually a very good jockey, and he really suits Pinstripe because he's a good left-handed whip rider. So yeah, he just gave him the perfect run, and as I said, he didn't get too close to Mr. Brightside because he knew Pinstripe was going to lay and got the whip to the left hand, and away he went. Last one. Stu says, are Growing Empire and Autumn Glow serious Everest horses? Autumn Glow definitely won't go to an Everest.
Did he say Autumn Glow? Who? That was Stu, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course it was.
Stu. It's actually short for stupid.
I don't know if he's taking the piss out of me sometimes. Like he knows like that sort of shit just pisses me off.
If Going Empire went to an Everest, then obviously he's among the chances. What do they get? I think they get 53.5 kilos at the sprints.
In the Everest.
Something like that, yeah. Maybe 53.
Yeah, I think it's 53.
Yeah. So but anyway, he's probably not gonna go, so we don't have to worry about it. All right, gone just over an hour. We'll wrap it up there, Bot. And we'll be back on Wednesday night because I've got an awards night on Thursday. So Wednesday night, we've got an early podcast treat for you this week. We will be looking at the Moyer Stakes from the Valley and also the Concord and a few other races in Sydney. So really, really looking forward to it. The Chelmsford as well, but our focus will firstly be at the Valley, Rails back in the True, and then we look forward to the return of Giga Kick in Sydney. Cheers, guys. I will cry for you all night.